You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Dog Pound, be at First Energy Stadium in 2015 for the action and excitement every game. Secure your Cleveland Browns 2015 season tickets by placing your deposit today. Visit clevelandbrowns.com or call 440-824-3434 for more information. Nathan Zgurma, Matt Wilhelm with you. Let's go to Cleveland. Johnny, who's on hold.
How's it going, man?
Good. How are you?
Man, I'm doing great. I woke up this morning, man, making the most of it.
Good.
How are you, man?
So we're all doing.
So, man, hey, Browns draft, Chicago, I'm there. I can't wait. I'm thinking at 12, if he's there, and, it, you know, they like him enough, you got to take Shelton, because I don't think in the future we're going to have a chance to draft a guy, a run stopper like that early in the draft, man. If he's not there, man, I say go all in on Dorial Green-Beckham, man. You got the next Megatron right there. I know he's got his issues, but you would think the Browns, from what they went through and are going through with Gordon, have learned from that. I mean, the guy's 6'5". The guy's 237, runs a 4.49. He's got hands, man. Johnny Manziel, security blanket at Texas A&M with Mike Evans, was a stud last year. He's only going to get better. I think you got to go after that guy. So if Danny Shelton's not there, you go after Dorial Green-Beckham. If Danny Shelton's there, you get him. And if you have to trade up from 19, maybe a third rounder from next year, because we're probably going to get a couple extra compensatory third rounders to move up to get him. I think if you can do it, you do it, man.
I don't think you even have to. I think he'll be on the board at 19. Some people have him going
to. He'll be there at 19?
Some say maybe the 49ers and then maybe Kansas City at 18. But a lot of people think he's sliding just because teams don't want to deal with his off-the-field headache. That's what they're so worried about. And I think for the Browns, it becomes very tough. Now, I said Randy Gregory I would give a shot to because, you know, he's a pass rusher, and this team really needs pass rushers.
I dig it, man. But the guy at the
he
combine.
He is. He's awesome.
He's an awesome player.
I
think the whole marijuana rule is stupid, especially with places all around, you know, states all around the country legalizing and, you know, them having, legislation about to get passed to, you know, for people to, you know, politicians to vote on legalizing it. But, I mean, he failed at the combine. You know, Dorial Green-Beckham, you know, he's been clean since Missouri. You know what I'm saying?
I hear you. So, like, just for example, so, you know, Peter King in his most recent mock draft doesn't even have Dorial Green-Beckham going in the first round. Don Banks from SI doesn't even have Dorial Green-Beckham going in the first round. I'd take the plunge on him in the second round. I think he's that good. I think if he was clean.
He'll last the second round, man.
I'm just telling you what's out there. I don't know if he will either, but I'm telling you, if he was clean, he's the number one wide receiver in the draft, by far.
He's the best receiver in the last three drafts.
He certainly is an incredibly physically gifted man.
Since Calvin Johnson, man.
A lot of people say that is the only physical comparison for him. Appreciate the call, Cleveland Johnny, and hopefully it could end up being that he could be here and play well for the Browns. I just don't know. To me, it's the Randy Gregory thing everybody's calling about. It's about Gordon. To draft a receiver with issues, I don't know if you see
it's a little too close to the vest.
It's a little too close to home. Yes.
Yeah. I don't know, man. I had to go. I've watched his highlights. I've watched when he's featured on a mock draft, and then I had to go do my own little bit of scouting. I didn't watch a game, you know, but I went and watched some, you know, highlights of him at Missouri, you know, on YouTube, and the dude can flat out ball. And what I love most about him is the ability to go up and high point the football in the red zone. So the type of threat that he is inside the 20-yard line to a football team that only threw, you know what, 12 touchdown passes, you know, to wide receivers last year. So he'd be a significant upgrade. But that all being said is if it doesn't work out, you know, and hindsight is 20/20, there's going to be other players that we can get that can add value to this roster that we just have to take because it's the safer way to go with as much scrutiny as we've been under all offseason.
And that's the truth. With all the scrutiny, I just don't see them going that way with a wide receiver. 216-578-0850. Did you play with anybody who had like big off the field issues at all? And if so, how is it dealt with in your locker room?
Not the domestic, no, and not really the DUI. You know, Sean Merriman was a guy who got popped for steroids, missed four games, and in some cases. By the way he looked, you kind of knew something was up. Very similar to the way LaRon Landry, you know, the way he looks, you knew something was up. And it kind of it doesn't become reality for you as a team if it happens. If it happens that it affects your season, which for us it did, you know, Sean
Absolutely.
Merriman had to serve a four-game suspension, you know, right smack dab at the start of the season, and losing him for four games was tough. But and that's where, you know, you add value, you add talent, you add playmakers to a defense. That's why pass rushers on our list. Yes, we have Mingo. Yes, we have Kruger. Yes, we have Scott Solomon. But to get another guy, another body that can rush the passer is such a luxury. So what you do is it's very easily to adapt defensively to fill the gap for a guy like Sean Merriman. But on the offensive side of the ball, to lose, you know, a guy like Josh Gordon, we saw what it did to our offense. You know, when we needed a playmaker, there were no playmakers, you know. And even when he came back, and in Sean Merriman's case, it's not like he walked back into the football, you know, the football team and went out and had double-digit, you know, a two-sack game right there. So it takes time for him as well. But as I said with Randy Gregory, and you made this point about the new drug testing program, it's, and you hate to say this, but it's like he can go two more positives before he'll actually miss a game. So him smoking pot and them taking his money, that's his objection. But when you miss games and it affects your game plan, it affects your ability to win football games, is when everyone in that locker room, the fan base, the coaches, and management truly have an issue.
216-578-0850, Nate in Columbus, welcome to the show.
Hey, how are you guys doing today?
Good, man. How are you?
How are you?
Doing pretty good. I just wanted to ask you guys about what you would rather do as far as like a draft position for the Browns. Would you rather go with Danny Shelton out in Washington, who's proven himself to be pretty good at nose tackle, or would you rather go with Orchard, who, like we guys said, he has to move out to outside linebacker, which strictly he's really never done in the college game. I know he stood up a couple times and pass rushed that way, but he never really played like pass coverage and things like that. So I'm just going to hang up and let you guys talk.
First, the good news is you don't need to make that decision. Shelton and Orchard are not going at the same point in the draft. I think many people think Orchard's a second-day guy. Shelton is the top priority for me because a nose tackle is exactly what this team needs, someone to stuff the middle for this defense so that this run defense can improve when it was the worst last year. I think that he is Danny Shelton and Nate Orchard. I think you need both of those. Those are the two biggest needs on this team. Number one would be a nose tackle. Number two would be somebody on the edge who can get to the quarterback and get there consistently.
And I think in this case, when you reference those two individuals as the caller did, Danny Shelton has played in a 3-4, and yep. He's played nose tackle in a 3-4, and he was highly productive in as a nose tackle, meaning 80 tackles, 8.5 sacks, I think probably another at least 10 to 12 tackles for a loss. So he's a very active guy inside, so he doesn't have to adapt to a new system of going to play in a 4-3. He'd come in and feel right at home, and in some cases could contribute immediately at nose tackle, whereas Nate Orchard would be a guy who at times stood up, you know, in the defense that Utah played, but was more of a 4-3 defensive end and in some cases rushed from a 2-point stance, but he'd be asked to be in a 2-point stance all the time. So he is a guy, as you said, a second day guy that would add value at the pick, but a guy that would probably work his way into the lineup as a change up more so than anything, not an immediate starter for this football team.
Right, and there are people who are concerned about his ability to make transitions into those positions.
Yeah, it's tough.
It is tough.
It's very tough.
It is tough. But I think a nose tackle, you know what you're getting. Get him in there. Help this run defense. To me, that's the biggest priority. That number one. Number two, getting to the quarterback. And after that, I think you've got a very strong defense for the Cleveland Browns. That's why I said if you could somehow get a nose tackle and an outside linebacker, a pass rusher, and come away with a guy like Funchess or another receiver, you're going to be in very good shape after your first three picks.
Absolutely. You have to be extremely happy.
So I look at it, I want a nose tackle. I want an edge rusher. And I want a wide receiver tight end. Those are the first three picks. If we get that to me, I don't care what the order is, it's a home run.
And I think also, too, it's an absolute home run for this reason is barring injury, a guy like Danny Shelton, who will transition very easily, will make an immediate impact. And then I think if we take a pass rusher at 19, you know, which we very likely could, the expectations for him at 19 are not going to be like what Cleveland expected out of Barkevious Mingo drafted 6 overall.
Right.
You know, you wanted Mingo to come in and be a double-digit sack guy drafting him 6th overall, which is yet to happen in his career to have double-digit sacks. You know, so 19 would be a guy that could come in and be a changeup for that room, but over the course of one football season, he's going to be the guy by the end of the football year who hopefully ends up with 7 to 9 sacks would be a significant contribution being the 19th overall pick.
Am I right in saying that? Yes, of course. Give us that. If we can generate any type of consistent pressure this year, this defense, and stop the run, this defense is going to be lights out. It's going to be one of the best defenses in the entire NFL. When we come back, we'll be wrapping up our final half hour here. Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. I want to thank our guy at GI George. Said great segment with Nate Orchard. He sounds like he could play like a Brown. More segments with the prospects, please. We'll do what we can do, brother. We'll do what we can do.
Maybe I'll reach out to my people and get some Buckeyes on.
Get some Bucks. Let's go. CBD on ESPN 850 WKNR.